From Marketplace, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We're following a big beer story, the possibility of a merger between the world's biggest brewer, Anheuser-Busch InBev, and the second biggest, SAB Miller. The deal would create a massive beer conglomerate worth potentially $250 billion, and it comes at a time when small, independent craft breweries are eating into the sales of mainstream beer. For more on whether you can fight small by getting much, much bigger, I'm joined by Spyros Malandrakis. He's an alcoholic drinks analyst at Euromonitor International. Good morning, Spyros.
Good morning.
Tell us about these two beer giants. Why do they need each other right now?
The first would be, of course, the geographic expansion, which is essential for this kind of massive conglomerate. And the other side is cost savings. And my initial skepticism is the fact that the underlying trends of the alcoholic drinks industry, beer in particular, are primarily shifting from corporate approach to small-scale production and what we call the rise of the craft beer movement. I do not really see how you can translate the move away from big beer offering and towards micro, local consumption and production. How do you translate that into creating a giant mega company made out of the parts of the two major brewers controlling the global market at the moment and hemorrhaging sales for a while now?
So let's talk about that competition from small-time brewers, from craft brews. I would imagine there would be regulatory concerns about a merger this size. Is there actually enough competition from small breweries?
So they're not massive in that respect, and there will definitely be some regulatory issues in the American market. But my main concern is the consumer going to find this much more relevant to them? Will they change the underlying market narrative? I don't really see that. I mean, both of these two companies have been acquiring small craft brewers because they have acknowledged the issue a bit belatedly. So they know that the craft small-scale brewery cohorts are the ones that are essentially driving growth in many mature markets. So it is a question primarily if we're looking at the financial side of things or we're looking at the consumption / drinking trends. And because I primarily look at the latter, I'm less excited than many of the stockbrokers today.
Spyros Malandrakis, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
At long last, the Federal Reserve Board begins its two-day meeting today. The big question, will they or won't they? Fed Chair Janet Yellen and company will vote on whether to raise short-term interest rates for the first time in 9 years. The Fed has been signaling for months now that a rate increase could come before the end of the year. But with the recent market volatility and turmoil in the world economy, analysts are suddenly less sure. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
As buildups go, the rate hike is almost up there with Y2K, or the fiscal cliff.
It's been great reality television, hasn't it?
Jim Paulson is chief investment strategist with Wells Capital Management. As with other recent cliffhangers, he says the reality probably won't justify the hype.
While there could be some volatility and some anxious times ahead, yeah, we're going to get through this. At the end of the day, markets move far more dramatically than the underlying fundamentals.
Jonathan Wright teaches economics at Johns Hopkins University. He says even if the Fed does raise short-term interest rates this week or later this year, it won't have a big impact on how much you pay for a car loan or earn on a savings account.
I expect the FOMC will be bending over backwards to say that this is not the start of a typical policy firming cycle.
There's still too much risk in the economy, he says, to step on the brakes too hard. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The U.S. military outfits service members almost entirely in American-manufactured uniforms. It's partly tradition, but it's mostly because of a 1940s law called the Berry Amendment that requires the Department of Defense to go American-made. But there has been an exception, and that is athletic shoes. Reporter Susan Kaplan explains.
In April 2014, Massachusetts Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas, who led the lobbying effort to ensure that military recruit sneakers were made only in the USA, announced that Pentagon officials had, quote, conceded that recruits' running shoes should be made domestically. Tsongas and executives from several shoe companies, including Saucony and New Balance, welcomed the message and got to work. This is New Balance's Brighton, Massachusetts factory, outfitted with new equipment specifically for producing Berry-compliant sneakers. The company invested in new equipment because, as Tim Luke says, the Department of Defense told New Balance,
if you're going to make a Berry-compliant running shoe, it needs to be similar to the construction of what we receive right now.
But something changed along the way, according to New Balance VP Matt LeBreton.
What's happened is the Department of Defense, for whatever reasons, has decided to put up roadblock after roadblock.
Now, 5,000 pairs of the Barry compliant New Balance shoes are sitting in a warehouse gathering dust. What's holding the process up? I reached out to the Department of Defense to find out. While my requests were denied, the department did tell me in a statement that it was running tests and was, quote, committed to honoring the spirit of the Barry Amendment, even though sneakers are technically not part of a service member's officially issued uniform items. There was no mention of New Balance, though. There may be another reason for the holdup, according to Democratic Congressman Seth Moulton, who's also an Iraq War veteran.
I know troops who feel like New Balance shoes just don't fit their foot correctly, so you ought to have options.
Either way, Congressman Tsongas says progress on the issue is still being made. She says she'll urge the department to keep the process moving as quickly as possible. I'm Susan Kaplan for Marketplace.
We have more on the developing beer merger story on our Morning Report podcast at marketplace.org. From the studios at Montclair State University, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.